Welcome everyone to Gimme Venkast episode 9. I'm here with Cecil Ledesma.
Evan, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Cecil?
Man, post-holiday, can't wait to get back to it.
And absolutely.
I'm happy to be seeing you again.
Yeah. Likewise. I'm excited to be discussing another awesome topic this week. And we're going to focus on brand. And I think the big opener is, and related to the industry, do operators need a brand?
Do operators need a brand?
Yeah.
Do, in day-to-day contact and just business sense, is it important to hand out a business card? Do people need to know, you know, how they can get in touch with you? I think brand identifies. It's pretty important to a lot of folks, but coming back to vending and unattended retail, I wish and I hope vending operators see themselves as a particular brand, because their customers expect something from them. They expect something from that interaction. And, and what is that promise that the vending company brand delivers, right? We're in a unique position, by the way, because you're co-founder of Gimme.
Sure.
And between you and, you know, Corey and the conversations, one can only imagine, I'm curious to find out, you know, in the early days, you know, what that conversation was like to come up with the Gimme persona, the Gimme brand today, and why it's so important, right? So
I think at first it's a good question. When I think back, well, we looked a lot of the good brands that were out there, or at least brands that we liked associating ourselves with first in order to make a good one. I think you'd look after some of the amazing examples. And when it came to every piece of who Gimme was, the name itself, Gimme, the logo, the colors, right? We thought of all of that in the beginning to set some foundational groundwork as to one, how to rally a team around a brand. So the people that were involved in making sure that at the beginning, the founders were excited by what we were building, which in the very beginning wasn't much out of the gate. And it was only a brand. Brand was the thing we were in the beginning. So it was super important to the team, most importantly. But then thinking into the future, you have to kind of have that foresight to be able to say, is this a brand we could get behind for a long period of time, both in saying it, in seeing it, in experiencing it, and having customers that could also get behind the same vision and the same values. So brand was also core values. Brand was also the people that were involved on the team. And then it came down to the specifics of the name, the logo, the colors. So when it came to Gimme, we looked at, again, some of the great examples like Apple, two syllables, a brand that we already associated ourselves with, everyone on the team. I think we had one Android guy early on the team. He's no longer part of the brand, part of the company, but it's nothing against the, it's just the how things, how you adapt to a brand. People sort of get in or get out just depending on what that brand value is and what the core values are and what the promise of the brand really, really means to an industry. So we looked at companies like Apple. We looked at a company that kept it really simple. Gimme wanted something that was easy to say, easy to remember, easy to speak, easy to recognize as well. The logo itself, the G that we created, as an icon, is actually in the shape the specs are actually a vending machine. And the G, that when it comes back in, the G cross is actually the same, the right size of a traditional snack machine where you would go in to grab the snacks. That's what the G in the icon actually represents. So we embodied ourselves in vending and in being one with the culture and the industry we were a part of. That's where Gimme got started.
Wow. I didn't even know that.
So, yeah. A little tidbit.
Yeah. I mean, the loyalties that the everyday consumer has in dealing with brands. I mean, I've got my favorite airline, my favorite hotel to stay in.
Yeah.
As a tennis player, an athlete, you have certain brands that you're loyal to because they're tried, they're tested, they're proven, or yeah. your hero actually wears that brand. Come on. I mean, that's the power behind the brand.
Yeah.
Right? And brands either make it in business and they stay on forever, and that brand legacy lives on, or when sometimes brands have a misstep and they fall, and their ability to get back up. I mean, that's everyday stuff, but it's all about what that brand represents to millions and millions of followers.
Right.
And our industry is no different.
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, you mentioned loyalty, which does sometimes give, well, one, a highly emotional state with that brand, also a functional part of that brand, because with loyalty points, with rewards, there are ways you can further indulge in a brand with loyalty. But also social media, I think, has tremendous effect and has had tremendous effect on the perception of brands. And that's one thing that, especially when it comes to operators, is I see, at least in this industry, as one way to stand out amongst other brands, for sure. Right. Companies that embody social media. I think we've seen really good examples of times that brands have gotten a ton of exposure from social media, great examples, but also the opposite, really negative exposure. Even as simple as being included in a viral video about, I'm trying to think of a good example. Oh, the recent one, this is the craziest thing, was the ice cream. Did you hear about this ice cream? Someone licked ice cream.
Oh, yes.
In a grocery store. It's just crazy. And Bluebell was the cream that was affected. They're now suing the person that did this and posted the video. It's like, what a crazy thing. Like, you never asked for this. It's, is any PR a good PR? I don't know. But this one is like a very aggressive, strategy. And the brand has been recognized in some way for this viral, negative press for this person. So
yeah.
It's
yeah.
just
good
it's
or
crazy
bad.
What a brand can, right. how it can be affected.
Right.
Wow. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I think that happened at a Walmart here in Texas.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's wild. Yeah. But I think as it relates to operators though, it's social media. I do see as a way that right now, I feel like it's kind of underutilized from the brands we have in the industry today. And those that have embraced it, I think, have found positive results, at least as far as from what I've learned from operators, because we always say social media is where people are at. Then meet your customers there too.
Meet your customers. Why
not
right.
find ways to? I know there are definitely loyalty points, a lot of loyalty programs, and ways to engage there. But sometimes when you're working at an employer, you as the consumer wouldn't have any effect necessarily on who the provider is. So how can operators better connect with their consumers who? The consumers didn't choose them. They just are going for a snack or a drink, and whoever the provider is great, right? Is great. But until they don't get the snack they want, then it becomes a problem. Like, who is that provider again?
That's right.
I think we had talked about negative reviews before, but with social media and with some of the other ways that operators can actually further engage with consumers, I think you can find more positive results in the experiences with a snack or a drink as well as the negative. So there, that light went off here. I guess I'm not moving much in the video.
Oh, the fun of live broadcasting.
Yeah, exactly.
So let me ask you this question, Evan.
Yeah.
How if you were to advise a podcast viewer,
sure.
Or a room full of vending operators.
Mm-hmm.
So, Evan, as a co-founder, what would you recommend? What would you suggest to operators that heard your story? How do you protect the brand? I mean, the brand is constantly going to be potentially under attack, right? Well, your brand stands for this, your brand stands for that. How do you protect, and that goes back to, you know, a strong culture-based leadership where, you know, here's how we're going to interact. This is what our brand means to all of us. I mean, there really needs to be a little bit of maybe, in my case, a lot of, you know, Kool-Aid drinking, because you're either, you can't be half in. You have to totally believe, or you're going to be vulnerable down the road, right? Yeah. So it's 100% all in on the brand or not. Now, if I'm 100% all in on a certain brand, that's a great responsibility. That's a big responsibility. So what does the brand need to do to protect their brand and from turning loyal customers like me off? Yeah. I would be curious from your perspective, and then we can dive down a different direction.
Right. I think the main part about the brand for me in protecting it specifically and reinforcing it comes back to core values. Because one is, you'll never be able to be a brand for everyone. There will always be outliers who just either don't want to associate themselves with the brand or are already brand loyal to someone else, a competitor, or whatever it might be. You won't be able to get everyone out of the gate. I think the important part is staying true to your brand as a team and as an organization, and not being jumping sides or playing in the gray areas, just holding true to what those, and that's why it's important to have pillars and those core values, because it makes it really easy from the people on the team to embody and just follow what that guided, you know, those guided core values are. And then you'll find customers and people that are actually loyal to those core values too. And for anyone that wavers from that and is not in line with that, it may actually not be the right brand for them. And that's probably okay, because when you think about, if you were to remove the people that are less loyal in general, not thinking number or volume, but in density of people that are loyal to your brand, you'd be removing the people that are less loyal, and then your total customer or people base are more brand loyal. Your percentage of people that are brand loyal to you is stronger when the people that aren't as loyal are removed. So
yeah, I see that.
And you get to reinforce and find the other people that are also want to be a part of that core value, a part of that culture. So I think if you try to play to everyone's likes, you get a lot of volume, but less individual brand loyalty, because you're trying to be the cheapest and the most expensive, or and the premium. You're trying to be the cheapest, but also the premium, or you're trying to be the most edgy, but you're also trying to get conservative people on board, or you know, so there's just this, you can't balance everything. You have to pick your battles, and the people that want to join in on that culture and those core values are the people that you want to stick around. And anyone that's not, you know, 100% with it, or you know, at least 90% with that, it might just need to go somewhere else. And I think that's what I've learned. And I think that's held true for other companies that have been in, that have been in a perception battle, like Nike is probably one that comes to mind more recently. And they've made a lot of just strong decisions, bold decisions in their industry or in the world, really. And, you know, they've seen a lot of positive from the recent decisions, but they've also received a lot of slack from it too. You'll never be able to speak to everyone. I think the only thing is holding true to what that company and those people believe in. If not, you could find another brand to be loyal to. I just think that you have to own what you are. And if there are changes that need to be made as a brand, I think you need to do it. There are ways to handle it the right way. But I think for protecting what a brand is just holding true to those core values. Yeah.
Yeah, great points. By the way, I heard something really interesting about not only the brand, but the Nike brand. When folks were asked, what do you think Nike does?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What do you think Nike is all about? Well, you know, Nike sells really cool sneakers. They sell really cool, you know, shoes.
Yeah.
But when you ask the diehard supporters of the brand, when you ask Nike, you know, executives or the leadership team and all the people that believe in it, yes, that's on the physical side. Yes, they do sell shoes, but Nike really celebrates athletic achievement. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's a different take on what a brand is or how regular average people, consumers will define what a brand is.
Yeah. Right.
Nike sells shoes, but in Nike's own mind, right, it's Nike represents incredible athletic achievement in whatever sport. And that's what we want to celebrate. And so if you believe in the celebration of this athletic, amazing achievement,
yeah,
then Nike makes a lot of sense for a lot of people. And
or even, know, I would say just to find almost, Nike's almost helping achieve athletic dreams as much as achievements, but they've kind of, that seems to be the recent message is, you know, going further to believe that you can be, you know, amazing, like dream bigger as an athlete and they can help you get there. You know, it kind of feels that way.
Hey, a quick shout out, by the way, to the Women's World Cup American soccer team.
Amazing.
Bringing it home, back-to-back World Cups. Yep. Just an amazing brand, for just to be that amazing example, right? To little girls and little boys, really, it doesn't really matter, that followed the three-week journey of a team that absolutely consider each one of them their own best friend. At 23 ladies on this team, these are the absolute tightest friendships. And I think that's a key ingredient for brand success. The fact that, hey, it's not about me. It's less about me than the person this way and this way. That's who we're playing for and, you know, playing for something much greater than all of them collectively.
In a way, their brand was the USA. So, you know, these are women from all over the world representing their countries more than anything else. Right. And then their soccer and Nike and other brands involved. But that's a pretty powerful brand in for sure. So, but yeah, I completely agree that teams, as much as core values, then it comes down to the people. And I think a lot of the way that brands can become more exposed in the right way and positive light is, you know, the people from within sharing about the brand too. I mean, what better way to realize that people love who they work for and who they represent? You know, finding that's where the advocates start from. And then I think, you know, customers and fans sign on after that. But first, you got to see that the team is involved, right? From leadership down, that all of those people they all believe in it, and then it just works its way outwards from there. So I think that's got to start. Yeah. That's where it was created. That's where it's really where it all starts, and that's also a way to get the awareness out there too. So from you know, an operator's perspective, obviously being at an operation. The drivers, we've always talked about these are you called them brand ambassadors one time.
That's right.
Like, truly that's what they become, because they have the most time with the customer on site. What better way to represent an operator's brand than the drivers who are there all the time and actually performing the service at the market or at the vending machine. I mean, it's, they truly are the brand ambassadors, and they can help embody and bring that culture and brand. And I've just seen amazing examples of, you know, customers that have probably kept business because of drivers, just in general, you know, because they don't want that person, that individual to leave that company or that, right, that location. So super important, the people more than anything else.
100% agree. And I'll tell you this, here's what I love about the Gimme brand as an example. We all want the big businesses to, you know, to engage with. We want, but what Gimme does, I'll tell you this, is whether you have one micro market or 1,000 markets, whether you have one vending machine or 10,000 vending machines, we treat that all the same. Mm-hmm. One is not better than the other. One is not less important than the other. Everyone's important, right? Because they're making that fundamental move of trading hard-earned dollars in exchange for service that we can offer to them. Mm-hmm. And so to vending operators that either are just starting out or have been, you know, in business for 2 or 3 years, how do they protect their brand? What can you offer them as, you know, a business owner that's already, you know, up and running? What do you suggest to them for so that that brand that they're slowly starting to build, you know, isn't tarnished, that they can really protect it and become real keepers of that brand? What could they do, right? I'll give one example. Like if your brand is associated with being highly responsive, and you say, hey, we're going to return calls within the hour, make sure every frontline person that is charged with that responsibility knows that,
right,
in your company, and then live and die by it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people will be forgiving if you miss it by 5 minutes, but make it up again somehow, admit to, right? This is what gives the strength to the brand when you're not covering it up, but you do admit, hey, we'll always do our best. We may not always return a phone call within the hour. And when we don't, we'll apologize to you and we'll find every which way we can to make it right.
Yeah. And what you've described is really associating yourself as a company with other companies and people that embody similar values. And if one of those, like you said, is responsiveness, then, you know, and you as a company wanted to, or as an operator, want to deliver an extremely responsive support, you are probably going to look for suppliers and food service deliver that level of support too, because then you're getting feeding off of each other's good examples, right? And if you're, you know, for too long with a company that doesn't embody the type of company or people you want to be, it just becomes a little bit toxic, and you know, you start finding ways to avoid interacting with that brand or avoid interacting with that company. And I think again, those brand values or core values can really help keep people in line with who they want to work with, or realize they're outgrowing this one, or it just helps you keep in line. And it's really a guiding light for any brand or any company. Yeah.
So brand promise.
Yeah.
From what we're talking about, that promise, I mean, it's mandatory, right? For any brand to keep and fulfill. You know, that same consistency all throughout, that over the years really resulted in them, you know, gaining loyal customers and retaining those customers should be at the top of everyone's objective.
Oh, absolutely.
And and you know, being real keepers and protectors of that brand, so important. So, you know, vending operators, welcome to the real world, right? If you have a brand and you speak in those terms, good on you. If not, now would be a good time to almost recreate that professional brand.
Sure.
And share that, right? I think that's, again, it goes back to one of our previous podcasts. We talked about leadership, setting the tone, leading by example. And when it comes to brand, being the number one protector of it, because that's the identity that, you know, it strikes me sometimes when operators like to differentiate themselves with the greatest customer service, right? I mean, a lot of businesses say that.
Sure. Right?
But it's above and beyond. And then once you believe in that 100%, how do you tell the world that story?
Right.
And maybe it's a platform like, you know, a podcast, if it's audio only, if it's video, but there are so many tools. The tools alone aren't going to help. They will carry your message, but it's the repeated, if you state something, follow up on it, do it, and make believers out of non-believers, because over time they will become customers.
Yep.
So.
Brand promise.
Yeah.
That might be the best definition of it. Well, Cecil, this was, I loved speaking on this topic with you today for episode 9, and I hope that our audience loves it too. If anyone has thoughts or comments, again, feel free to share with us, either message us directly on LinkedIn, or share your comments on the post, which you'll see going up today.
All right. So,
thanks.
Evan, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Absolutely. We'll talk again soon.
Take care.
Bye.